Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to Ayala Land's briefing on its results for the first half of 2018. Joining us on the line are 19 callers, and we'd like to remind everyone that our materials are available for download at ir.ayalaland.com.ph. And of course, I'd like to introduce our panel led by our President and CEO, Mr. Bobby D., our Group Head of Leasing, Mr. Juni Halandoni, and our CFO, Mr. Toti Bengson. And to start off the presentation, let me turn over the mic to Toti.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm very pleased to report that Ayala Land posted solid results in the first half of 2018 with revenue and net income growth of 25 and 18% respectively. Our four key messages, total revenues reached 80.4 billion, propelled by the strong performance of property development and the healthy contribution from commercial leasing, while net income registered at 13.5 billion driven by the strong revenues. Second, residential demand continues to be robust as sales reservation increased 17% to 72 billion. Third, our leasing footprint is growing steadily with the opening of Ayala Mall Circuit Makati, Huni Sikogon, and a fully opened Seda Capital Central in Bacolod. Fourth, CapEx spend reached 48.4 billion to support residential project completion, leasing asset buildup, and increased investments in other businesses. Allow me to start off with our financial results, and later on I will also give you some additional information on our land bank. Total revenues reached 80.4 billion, 25% higher than 64.5 billion. Breaking this down, real estate revenues increased 25% to 78.5 billion, propelled by the strong performance of property development and the healthy contribution of commercial leasing. Equity and net earnings of associates and JVs reached 410 million, a 14% gain from 361 million last year, mainly from the contribution of Ali's joint venture with Federal Land to develop Avea. This is our residential project by Alve in Binyan, Laguna, together with a higher net income contribution of our other non-consolidated subsidiaries. Interest and investment income registered at 391 million, 42% lower, primarily due to lower interest income from installment sales. Other income reached 1.1 billion, a 54% growth from 688 million last year, mainly as a result of the sale of MCT Berhad, our Malaysian subsidiary of One City Properties, an integrated mixed-use development in Subang Jaya, and East City Hotel located within that said development. This resulted in interest and other income growing 8% to 1.9 billion. In terms of expenses, it registered a total of 58.8 billion, 26% higher, mainly due to higher real estate expenses, which grew by 27% to 49.2 billion. GAE reached 4.3 billion, an increase of 22% from the previous year, but given the faster growth of revenues, our GAE ratio improved further to 5.3% from 5.5%. However, EBIT margin registered at 33.2%, slightly lower than 33.7% in the previous period. Interest expense, financing, and other charges registered at 5.3 billion, 23% higher as we recognized higher interest expense and financing charges. This resulted in an income before tax of 21.6 billion, 21% higher than the previous year. Our provision for income tax grew 27% to 5.8 billion. Reflecting a slightly higher average income tax rate of 27% compared to 26% last year. As a result, income before non-controlling interests came in at 15.8 billion, 19% higher than last year. Netting out non-controlling interests, which grew 26% from the previous year to 2.3 billion due to the higher contribution of our consolidated subsidiaries and partners, net income attributable to Ali equity holders registered at 13.5 billion. 18% higher year-on-year. In terms of revenue breakdown, total revenues from property development amounted to 58.3 billion, 27% higher than the same period last year. Revenues from the sale of residential lots and condominiums reached 50 billion, 31% higher, driven by new bookings and project completion across the residential brands. revenues from the sale of office spaces reached 4.3 billion, 2% lower than the same period last year due to lower take-up as a result of limited inventory. Meanwhile, revenues from the sale of commercial and industrial lots reached 3.9 billion, 16% higher due to commercial lot sales in Arca South Taguig, Azuela Cove in Davao, and Ayala North Point in Negros Occidental, and increased industrial lot sales in Alviera Pampanga and Cavite Technopark in Naic. Revenues from commercial leasing amounted to 16.9 billion, 15% higher than last year. Revenues from shopping centers reached 9.3 billion, 12% higher than the 8.2 billion previously due to the higher contribution of Vertis North and Clover Leaf, both in Quezon City, the 30th and Feliz, both in Pasig, and the improved average rent of UP Town Center in Quezon City, as well as the strong performance of Greenbelt in Makati. Revenues from office leasing reached 3.7 billion, 20% higher than last year due to the contribution from Vertis North Corporate Center 1, the 30th Corporate Center, Circuit BPO Tower 2, the improved average rent of BPO offices in UP North in Quezon City, and higher occupancy in Ayala Center Cebu Tower. Revenues from our hotels and resorts reached 3.9 billion, 16% higher than 3.4 billion last year due to the contribution of Seda Vertis North, Seda Capital Central in Bacolod, and the Leo Bed and Breakfasts in Palawan. In terms of services, mainly from our construction arm MDC, our property management company represented by APMC, and our power service companies such as Direct Power, Ecozone Power Management, and Philippine Integrated Energy Solutions, total revenues rose to 36.8 billion, 8% higher than last year. MDC generated revenues of 34.6 billion, 8% higher due to the increased order book of projects from the Ayala Land Group. APMC and the power service companies registered revenues of 2.2 billion, 12% higher due to the higher number of managed properties from our completed projects. Netting out intercompany adjustments, primarily arising from internal construction projects, real estate revenues were at 78.5 billion, 25% higher year on year. With interest and other income of 1.9 billion, revenues amounted to 80.4 billion, 25% higher than the previous year. Our margins continue to be healthy. The average residential gross profit margin of horizontal projects improved to 46% from 44% due to the contribution of ALP's The Courtyards, Phase 3 in Vermosa, Alveos Mondia in Nuvali, and Ardia in Vermosa, while the average GP margin of our vertical developments slightly improved by 1 percentage point to 36%. The average GP margin of offices for sale is 35%, lower than 40% previously, as we already are running out of inventory. And so this is a recognition that we already lack our higher margin inventory. The average GP for commercial and industrial lots increased to 42% as a result of higher margins from commercial lots in Arca South, Taguig, Azuela Cove in Davao, and Ayala North Point in Negros Occidental, and as well as the industrial lot sales in Alviera Pampanga and the Cavite Technopark in Naic. Turning to the leasing front, our EBITDA margins for shopping centers slightly lower at 64% from 66% on account of lower occupancy of our newly opened malls. The EBITDA margins of offices were unchanged at 91%, while the overall margin of our hotels and resorts portfolio improved further to 31% from 29% due to improved occupancy across all resorts. Services EBITDA is at 8%. The new estates continue to gain traction with a total contribution of 55% to our bottom line, coming from 46% at the end of 2017. Recurring income now stands at 32% of our total bottom line for the first half of 2018. This is coming from 35% at the end of 2017, primarily on account of the strong growth we're experiencing from our residential development business. Turning to property development, sales reservation reached 72 billion, 17% higher year on year, equivalent to an average monthly take-up of 12 billion. Net book sales registered at 50.5 billion, 25% higher in the first half of 2018. In the second quarter alone, we generated the highest sales reservations on a quarter-to-date basis at 40.5 billion, 19% higher than the previous year. Net booked sales, meanwhile, grew strongly by 29% to 26.3 billion. We launched 6 projects in the end of the second quarter of 2018, amounting to 28.6 billion, bringing us to a total of 39.5 billion in total value for the first half. So expect us to launch more projects in the third and fourth quarter. Unbooked revenues reached a new high of 144 billion. This will be booked in the next 3 to 4 years based on the percentage of completion. Allow us to provide you with some color on international sales. International sales, which we define as sales to OFWs, overseas Filipinos, and other foreign nationalities, grew by 21% to 22.1 billion. And this constitutes 31% of total reservation sales in the first half of 2018. Sales to overseas Filipinos was quite strong as it grew 32% to 7.9 billion, taking up 11% of total reservation sales. Sales to other nationalities increased by 16% to 14.2 billion, accounting for 20% of total reservation sales. Approximately 42%, or close to half of our sales to other nationalities, is to Chinese buyers, 16% to American nationals, with the rest incrementally spread out across other nationalities. Local Filipinos continue to drive reservation sales, accounting for 69% of the total, amounting to 49.8 billion, 16% higher than the previous period. In the second quarter of 2018 alone, sales to local Filipinos grew 11%, sales to OFs, overseas Filipinos, grew by 38%, and sales to other nationalities grew 41%, capping the strong momentum in the first half of 2018. Let me turn you over to some of our key launches in the first half. Our first high-end residential development in Davao, the Residences at Azuela Cove. We launched this in April, 70 units with a value of 2.3 billion, of which all have been taken up. So we will be launching the second tower shortly. Cerrillo Phase 4 and 5 in April, 47% taken up. For Alveo, the Calista Tower at the Circuit Makati, 694 units, 12% taken up. Ameta Place, 80% taken up. For Avida, the Avida Towers Abreeza Tower 1, launched in June, 736 units with a value of 2.6 billion, 11% taken up. This is Ayala Land Premier's first office for sale project, One Vertis Plaza in Vertis North Quezon City. Very strong sales. We have recorded a 30% take-up. These are office condominiums for sale, 372 units with a gross sales value of 15.6 billion. Let me turn you over now to our leasing portfolio. So for our malls, total malls GLA stands at 1.8 million square meters, with an average occupancy for all malls at 89%, 94% occupancy rate for stable malls. The average monthly lease rate is now at 1,060 pesos per square meter, while same mall rental growth remains healthy at 4%. We opened the Circuit Mall last month, a total of 52,000 square meters of GLA, and we look forward to opening One Bonifacio High Street in the last quarter. Currently, we have a total of 742,000 square meters of gross leasable space under construction for our malls portfolio. Now, this number excludes our residential retail spaces. So we are constructing retail spaces in several of our residential projects. Total GLA currently under construction, 83,000. So this is not included in the 745,000 number. For office leasing, total GLA is at 1.02 million square meters. An average occupancy rate for all offices, 89%, while stable offices is at 95%. The average monthly lease rate is at 742 pesos per square meter per month, and the total office portfolio lease out rate currently stands at 93%. For the second half of the year, we are scheduled to complete Ayala North Exchange and Vertis North Corporate Center Tower 3. Total GLA under construction stands at 519,000 square meters. For hotels and resorts, we now have a total of 2,409 rooms for the first half of 2018. This does not include the Marriott, which we closed at the start of the year. That's 301 rooms, and we will be reopening that as a Seda hotel in the second half of this year. RevPAR of hotels has increased by 7%. Our average room rate for hotels is up 1%, while for resorts, it's up 9%. The average occupancy rate of hotels is at 78%. That's 4 percentage points higher than last year, while our resorts occupancy rate is at a healthy 71%. That's also 4 percentage points higher than last year. For the second half, we will be opening Seda Ayala Center Cebu, which was the former Marriott. That's 301 rooms. And Seda Leo in Palawan will be opening the initial 65 rooms. We'd like to present in one slide our other leasing formats. So we have our factory buildings and warehouses portfolio currently standing at 130,000 square meters of gross leasable area. This is spread across our Laguna and Cavite Technoparks as well as Alviera. And also our industrial warehouses that we acquired through Poppy. Of the 130,000 square meters, 80,000 is in our Poppy portfolio. The flats, which are our dorm-style accommodations, we will be opening within this quarter our first flats across the Makati Medical Center in Amorsolo Street, a total of 196 rooms with 728 beds. Our current pipeline includes a total of 1,281 rooms or 5,120 beds, and this will be opened in the next 2 years. BGC will have two, and in Fifth Avenue and at BGC Parkway, and we will also be opening the flats in the Circuit Makati. Clock In, our shared office space, currently 500 seats. These are located at the Makati Stock Exchange, and in the BGC, we have one in High Street and at the BGC Technology Center. Our current pipeline involves a total of 800 seats. This will be opened in Vertis North on Ayala Avenue. I'm sorry, Vertis North in Quezon City, the 30th in Pasig, and the Ayala North Exchange on Ayala Avenue. Our balance sheet remains supportive of our growth plan. We ended the first half of the year with a net debt-to-equity ratio slightly lower than where we were at the end of the year in 2017. So we're currently at a net debt-to-equity of 0.76, and our return on equity is at 16.4%, an all-time high. Our average cost of borrowing has inched up slightly to 4.7%. And although rates have started to move up, bulk, 11% of our portfolio is in floating rate, 89%. The majority would be in fixed rate debt with an average maturity of 5 years. We spent 48.4 billion of capex. 45% went to the residential business, 25% to our leasing assets, 10% to land acquisition, 5% for estate development, and 15% for our increased stake in MCT, Poppy, and other investments. So to summarize, the company posted solid results in the first half with revenue and net income growth of 25 and 18% respectively. Residential total revenues reached 80.4 billion, propelled by the strong performance of property development and the healthy contribution from commercial leasing, while net income grew to 13.5 billion on the strength of strong revenues. Residential demand continues to be robust as sales reservations increased 17% to 72 billion. Our leasing footprint is growing steadily with the opening of Ayala Mall Circuit Makati, Hunis Ikogon, and a fully opened SEDA Capital Central in Bacolod. CapEx spend of 48.4 billion to support residential project completion, leasing asset buildup, and increased investments in other businesses. So our budget for the year, 111 billion. So together with the increased activity on our launches, we should be spending more in the second half of this year. Let me turn now to some updates on our land bank. So last April 4, we signed a deed of sale with Central Azucarera de Tarlac for a parcel of land which is adjacent to the Lewisita Golf and Country Club and near the Lewisita Industrial Park. A total of 290 hectares accessible by the T-Plex right by the Lewisita exit. This is the site, a total of 290 hectares, which we are currently master planning to be a mixed-use estate featuring commercial and residential uses and a potential for some industrial use. Last May 11, we entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Green Square Group for the formation of a joint venture company to develop properties totaling 27,852 hectares located in Dingalan, Aurora, all the way down to General Nakar, Quezon Province. This possesses a 36-kilometer coastline, and ALI will own 51% of this JV company. 49% will be owned by Green Square and Green Circle Properties. And our vision is to support the government's initiative of developing the country's eastern coast and promoting inclusive growth. This will be a phased development. As you can imagine, it's a large tract. We are currently master planning. It should take us a good part of a year to master plan this estate. And it will be mixed use, principally oriented towards tourism, commercial, residential, and institutional uses. The properties will incorporate environmental and ecological programs that will focus on forest conservation and the protection of biodiversity. Just to give you an idea of the location, this is 220 kilometers or 4 to 6 hours away from Metro Manila currently, because you have to go in a roundabout way. But when we measure it from our Alta Raza township, our estate in San Jose, Bulacan, it's only 70 kilometers away, so about less than 2 hours drive if and when we're able to construct a road leading into this area. Another description of this site is the average elevation in the Aurora side is about 600 meters above mean sea level and 350 meters above mean sea level on the Quezon side. So that's, just to give you some perspective, Tagaytay is about 500 meters above, and Baguio is 1,500 meters above sea level. So the average climate or the average temperature here is roughly like Tagaytay's, about 5 degrees centigrade cooler than Metro Manila. This is the breakdown of our land bank, which we disclosed in our 17A. So for the 10,285 hectares, we said that about half were already within our estates, and 5,000, another 50%, would be outside our estates. We've taken the liberty of breaking down and giving you some more detail on the locations of the estates. Previously, about 4,000 hectares of the 5,000 were lumped under others. If you look at the right-hand side, we've now broken down the others into more granular detail. So what will be left as others would be roughly about 1,000 hectares. So about 4,000 hectares will be in these areas. So that's our presentation. We will now open up the floor to Q&A.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bengzon. Any questions, please? No questions? Okay, let's open the floor for questions from our teleconference facility.
The first question from the audio line comes from Jason Yu from Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good afternoon. Two questions from me. First question, can you talk about your launch pipeline in the second half of the year? How confident of are you in achieving your launch targets? And the second question, in terms of the housing demand, can you just talk about what you think is driving the strong pre-sales in the second quarter? Thanks.
On the launch pipeline, as we had indicated previously, we're targeting for residential to launch about 101 billion. And we're basically tracking to be able to achieve that. Now. So we don't see any kind of major impediment. Assuming that the market continues to be strong, the plan is to launch and basically meet that the target. For leasing asset, I think we've basically disclosed that we'll be launching about 25 billion worth of projects for the year. And again, that also, we feel confident that that's going to actually be realized by the end of the year. On your second question, what's driving the growth, as Mr. Banks had explained, it's really across the board. I think the GDP growth continues to be quite robust. There's ample confidence in the market. Mortgage rates continue to be at near historic lows, continue to be at manageable levels. And I think that's the same story as Q1. That's why we're seeing the same type of growth. And if things remain to be the same in terms of the economic environment, then we assume or we anticipate that the growth will be sustained for the balance of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Thank you. The second question comes from the line of Charles Turkey from BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much. One quick question from me. And that is that your foreign participation in your pre-sales is not inconsiderable. So I'm just curious to understand the nuances of that demand and whether or not you believe it to be sustainable going forward. Thanks.
Charles, thank you for the question. I guess what we've seen over the last few years is that demand from international continues to be consistent. The major change happened in the last couple of years where now the Chinese market or Chinese buyers also came in. So we actually got an increase in sales over the last 2 years coming in from overseas Chinese. No, but the split previously on the other markets, that continues to be consistent over the last 3 to 4 years, and we don't anticipate any change on that.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pratik Ray from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. I have a question on the gearing. I noticed that your leverage has stayed more or less consistent with the past. But in terms of your CapEx, you're looking at 111 billion peso for 2018. You don't provide a lot of color in terms of your CapEx beyond 2018. Could you share some perspective on that and how your leverage limit, how your leverage might move with regard to your comfort level? Are you up to what level would you be comfortable taking your leverage up?
Thank you, Pratik. Our CapEx has been averaging around 80 billion for the past 5 years. And this year, we're leveling up and we've crossed the 100 billion mark. And we've said that directionally in the next couple of years, you'll probably see CapEx spend at around 100, 110 billion and above that. So what we have declared to the market, and we've been very upfront about this, is in terms of our gearing, we're comfortable with a net debt to equity ratio of 1:1. You've said that we've modeled that, and this is lower than the financial covenant that our creditors give us, which is a gross debt to equity of 3:1. So as far as we're concerned, a net gearing of 1:1 is the line in the sand. We don't intend to cross that. And as we look at our business into the next couple of years, we feel reasonably confident that we will be able to stay within that net gearing level of 1:1. And for this year, we're looking at anywhere in between the current 0.7 to somewhere at the 0.8 level. So going forward, nothing more than 1:1, but we think we're going to be quite a ways from that absolute limit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pratik.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Wilson Ng from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Just two questions from me. The first one is, it seems like there's a bit more pressure for the central bank to be hiking interest rates. I was just wondering what's your perspective on how high interest rates might impact your earnings, as well as how it might impact housing demand and your reservation sales growth moving forward. Second question's on Aurora. So I understand it's a very big plot, 27,000 hectares, and you say it takes about half a year to do the master planning. But in terms of how long is that going to take to build out and fully develop, is it like a 10-year kind of project or 20-year kind of project? Could you share your thoughts on how you'll be able to realize earnings from this big plot over the years? Thanks.
Thank you for the question. I'll answer the rate hike and the impact on our business, and I'll turn over to Mr. Halandoni the discussion on the large land bank that we acquired in the Quezon province. As far as hiking of rates are concerned, we've actually expected this. Yeah, in many ways, we were a little early because 3 years ago we already were anticipating that interest rates would move up, and that's why today you see that a bulk of our portfolio is in fixed rate debt. Mortgage rates, however, is what we are monitoring closely, and by all indications, the banks, at least for the duration of the year, do not seem to be inclined to raising mortgage rates. And the reason we're more concerned about mortgage rates is because I think for corporates, they pretty much anticipated an increase in interest rates, and they have balance sheets which are sufficiently strong, and a business which can accommodate any rise in interest expense. But it's the retail market that probably would be more affected by any rise in interest rates. And when we talk to our mortgage banks, and we normally sit down with them at the start of the year, consistently they have said that they are looking to grow their mortgage book and their retail loan book by at least 15%. And that coupled with the fact that even at where mortgage rates and retail lending rates are, we believe there's a sufficient spread that allows a sufficient spread relative to corporate lending rates that allows the mortgage banks to maintain the current mortgage rate schedule. As a matter of fact, we've seen some slight adjustments to the downside. In other words, for the 10-year mortgage rate, which was at about 8.25% at the start of the year, we actually have two or three banks that have priced it and lowered it to 7.75%. So for the duration of the year, we don't expect mortgage rates to rise significantly. Probably more likely it'll stay flat. Next year, it could probably start rising. But our sense is as long as the rate rises for the retail market are gradual and not sudden, then the retail borrowers should already have sufficient time to lock in on their, say, their mortgage rates at the current levels. I'll turn it over to Junie for the Quezon property.
Okay, Wilson, thank you for the question. On Aurora, Well, we're taking a very long-term view on this, no? I mean, if you look at the scale of the property, it's almost 30,000 hectares. That's almost half the size of Singapore. No, so for something that size, it will take a bit of development time frame. No? Notwithstanding, by next year, we hope to see some activity in terms of hospitality establishments and other amenity establishments. I think the immediate term, the opportunity is really more on tourism. If you look at the property really, it's a coastal area, and with a mountain area mimicking the temperature of Baguio. No? So can you just imagine the opportunity of having both Baguio climate and coastal landscape? No? So we're very excited about this project. We hope to have a few developments by next year, but again, this is a long-term project for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Wilson.
Thank you. Once again, participants who wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, it's star 1 if you wish to ask a question. There are no more questions at the moment. I'll hand the conference back to our speakers for the day.
Okay, I'll try my luck if there are any more questions from our live audience.
This will be the first time that there will be no questions from the local analyst.
Huh? Yes, please. Yes, please. Thank you.
Afternoon. Really easy question. Now, for your residential sales, for the, was the rise in sales more driven by price, meaning increase in price, or were there a lot more units than you, well, a lot more units sold?
We'll take a look at that. Hold on.
And would this be across the board, meaning across brands, or is it just
The growth has been across the different market segments, no? But in terms of growth,
3 to 5%.
We've been escalating prices by 3 to 5%. So you're seeing more unit sales as well this year compared to previous.
And then I noticed that your Avida brand, it's grown for this quarter. What drove that growth in sales for Avida?
Well, the middle income market has been particularly strong. I think that's also a function of the launches that Avida has had over the first half of the year. But the growth really has been across the board, whether it be middle income, whether it be socialized housing, whether it be luxury. We've seen growth across the different market segments.
Great, thank you. And then can you just expand more on, I guess, the makeup of your tenants? I mean, is it still the same mix or has it changed?
You're talking for which one?
Office? I'm sorry, for the office.
This year, it's we're tracking POGO or online gaming for around half of our tenant contracts within 2018.
So you're saying that half of the lease is taken up by POGO?
Yes.
For this half?
Almost half, yeah.
Okay.
But internally, we've also policy of maintaining POGO tending to around less than 10% of our office portfolio.
Right. So do you see the other type of tenants coming on board second half?
Yeah, it's still healthy. But
especially with the BPO?
Yeah.
BPO is still healthy.
It's just there's a surge on POGO.
Right. Okay, thanks. And then last, how's the reception on your other leasing formats, like the flats? Are there actually individuals or institutions that are interested in leasing beforehand, or what's the status?
Yes, the answer is yes. Although what we've seen at the retail level is they typically wait for the building to be completed prior to commitment. But we've seen some corporates commit to us prior to completion.
So there are interested parties. It's just you couldn't say how much of the units have been pre-committed.
Well, we've like in Makati, we've leased one floor to a corporate, and then now we're starting to lease at the retail level.
Okay, great. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Elle. Any more questions? Okay, I guess that caps our afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us today, and I'd also like to thank our panel for joining us today. Enjoy the rest of the day. There will be snacks available at the end of the room. Thank you.